What's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew coming to you live on Sunday night following a really fantastic basketball game on Saturday versus Kansas and Harvard. Andrew, how you doing?
Pretty good, Kevin. I'm not sure that was such a fantastic basketball game.
What?
But as long as it's a win, it's a fantastic basketball game. We're going to get caught back up. This episode, we've missed a couple probably scheduled dates, but we're going to get going. We're deep into the college basketball season now, and pretty exciting, I'd say.
I agree. There's a lot going on, Andrew. I don't want to bury the lead here, but did you see that Cheick Diallo got cleared?
What?
Yeah, how about that?
So I think that we said if that would happen, that we'd do an entire episode dedicated, like, dance party episode. We're not going to do a whole episode because, well, we should. We're not going to. But we will get to that later.
Yeah. There will probably be a dance party, though.
There will be a dance party, and we expect everyone listening to it to join in on the dance party when we get to it. Before we move on, I kind of want to talk about Helen Fieldhouse a little bit.
Okay. I like that place.
Okay. For the first thing, I'm going to go with a good and a bad. A good, last week, I saw one of the better cams, you know, like the flex cam, the kiss cam.
Sure, sure.
Smile cam. It was the Lion King cam where they played the Lion King song, the
Yeah, and you're then, really bad at that.
Yeah, whatever.
Don't ever.
And then
do
you
that
pull
again.
Up, you hold up your baby or your child in high into the air, and it was actually incredible. It was amazing, and I don't think that the Jayhawks invented this. I think it was like the Braves who did it because I looked it up.
Oh, okay.
But it was still incredible. And what? Then you started to have like students lifting other students up.
Yeah, I bet.
It was a wild couple minutes there in Allen Fieldhouse last week.
That's pretty good. I could just see like Jamari picking up Tyler Self and like doing it on the.
I think they would have to end those cam segments if that would have happened. Like, no, it couldn't get any better than that. We're done.
The end.
Leave it be. We just did the best we possibly could do.
Next cam.
Leave it. Just leave it. The other thing I want to talk about is so we've got this DeBruce Center that's been built. And I think they used a little bit of that money to build that to switch some things around in Allen Fieldhouse, which is fine. But some of the things they screwed around with were all of the stairwells.
Uh-oh.
So, like, I have this dedicated path on how I get to my seats that has been completely thrown off.
Hmm.
What do you think about changing things like up like that at the Fieldhouse?
I think what you can do to rectify the situation is give about... Oh, I don't know, $100,000 more a year and don't have to go up any stairs. You just walk through the tunnel.
I have to go up every stair in the building.
You don't have to go up any stairs. See, if you give $100,000 a year, you just don't go right through the tunnel and your seats are just like right in there somewhere. You don't have to go up all the stairs.
Okay. Well, I guess that's my only option.
That's it. That's all you
got. Yes, that's it. Oh, well. Okay, well, those are my two things I want to talk about from Allen Fieldhouse. But let's talk about what we're going to do today. We're, of course, going to talk about Diallo. We're going to wrap some storylines up from the past week. And then I'd like to do a eulogy for the KU football season just for a little bit. I think we need to spend a little bit of time on it.
We do.
Is that okay? With you?
It's not going to be long, so just hang with us. And here's the thing. After we're done with the eulogy, we'll like talk a little bit more hoops. So if you just like stick with us, you owe it to the KU football team to, you know, reflect for a minute, think about the season, think about what you saw, and we'll go on from there. So
we'll do power rankings at the end, which is everyone's favorite segment.
Is it?
No.
I don't think so.
It's not. But just stick around for that after we talk football. I think we've got some important things to say about football. Not necessarily incredibly insightful, but, you know, maybe... Maybe we'll feel a little bit better. Probably not. But let's talk about basketball. Let's give a wrap up of what has happened in the past week or so. We went to Maui, three straight wins, big win against Chaminade, big win against UCLA, which is looking even better after they beat Kentucky this weekend, and then a win in the championship game against a ranked Vanderbilt team, a Vanderbilt team who will be cruising for the SEC title this year, competing along with Kentucky. So that'll be those are a couple big wins. Also beat Loyola, wasn't really a game, and that was obviously the debut of Chick Diallo. And then we beat Harvard this weekend. It was a close one. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a second. But just talk big picture. Let's talk big picture. I know Harvard was rough, but let's just kind of take all these into consideration. The first thing I want to talk about is this team's pretty fast, Kevin. Is this one of the faster KU teams you've seen?
Under Bill Self, I think it is. Obviously, there were some teams under Roy that, you know, they'd get the ball out of the basket and they'd be down the court. But the nice thing about this, I think it's really a product of having Devontae and Frank on the floor together, man. I mean, this was kind of what you envisioned by having two point guards on the floor at the same time. Two guys can get up the floor. And it's also a product of having big guys that can run the court. Especially, Perry can obviously run the court. And we've seen, you know, some of these other guys. Diallo, god dang, he only played 7 minutes last game. But if you watch him, he's the first guy down the court. Like, he'll get the rebound and then somehow beat everybody down the court. He's crazy. And so I think it's great to have that factor in this game and this team, because we got to get down the court and hopefully have uncontested layups, because if they're contested, we're like really bad at making them.
Oh, yeah. The layup for KU is a little...
Excuse me.
Fantasy football update.
No. This is NCAA men's basketball. Number 16 Vanderbilt travels to number 25 Baylor tonight.
Oh, lovely.
Watch it on ESPNU. So we'll let you know how that turns out tomorrow. Sorry about that. Turn my
phone
off.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit about just the tempo. A lot of people like KenPom. I like KenPom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We are currently the 21st fastest team in the country by his adjusted tempo metric. There's only two other high major teams ahead of us, Washington and LSU. But it's also translating into points. You know, we at one point were almost averaging almost 100 points a game, and we're hovering around 90 right now. But honestly, if we made layups like you were just talking about, we would probably score 200 points a game. I mean, if Frank's layup right now is the most inefficient shot on the court,
Devontae's isn't much better.
Right, their three pointers are more efficient shot than
all day. Oh, like, absolutely.
The 26-footer is way better shot than the 2-incher.
Mm-hmm.
If they could make those layups, we'd score 200 points a game. And I'm not exaggerating too much.
What's crazy is how, you know, they're getting to the basket so easy. I mean, they are able to get to the basket however they want to get to the basket. And you're like, oh, damn. And then they get there and they're like, oh, damn. Because like, they get there and they get fat, you know, past everybody and boom, all the way to the basket, and you go, oh, that's amazing. And then the ball doesn't go in the basket. So, you know, here's something we could think about there. Because they're able to get to the basket so easily, two things. One, they should do that and then pass more. So see some of those corner threes more open, see some of the dishes inside more often, a little bit more, you know, maybe having someone crash the boards a little bit more often. Those are the things we kind of need to see, because we're not finishing. So if we're not going to finish, if you're not going to make it when you get there, don't force it up there. Give it up and hopefully get an easier basket.
I think you're right. But let's talk a little more positive and move on to the next thing. And it's that Wayne Selden, I think, is becoming or has become the alpha dog that we were promised. We've kind of been waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's here. What do you think? He's averaging 16 points a game. He's getting to the rim better, not just a jump shooter. But when he is taking jump shots, especially three-point shots, he's making every single one of them. And not every single one, but he's making 57.9%, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's insane. Is he the alpha dog? I don't know. Is he making a lot of three-pointers and adding a lot of value to the team as a result? Yeah, definitely. I don't know, man. I think he's good. I'm concerned. I worry that when that starts to cool off a little bit, when that 57% starts to drop, because it's obviously not going to stay there all year, where can he continue to help the team? Because his defense isn't awesome. He's still not really rebounding the ball. So that was the thing. They thought if they move him to the three, he wouldn't have to run back down the court all the time. He could crash the boards a little bit, use his size, use his strength. Still not really doing that. And you say he's getting to the basket a little more. I think you're right, a little better, and he's getting some of those shots, but his best shot on the court is still his three-pointer, and I don't know that I want him. I don't know. He's not like able to get to the basket like some of these other guys are. So I don't know. I worry a little bit still. I know it's kind of like a Debbie Downer take on him, but I guess I'm wondering if I've still seen, you know, 2.5 years of Wayne Selden versus, you know, what we're seeing now. Maybe the sample size, I'm still not quite ready to jump all the way into it. But God dang, he's making shots like left and right. So as long as he's doing that, he's got to play.
Well, and the other thing is that when he was out with foul trouble against Harvard, we missed him.
Yeah.
That team wasn't as good. Yep. The value is, if he's in the game, is this team's going to be a lot better. And it was evident on the floor the other day. And let's move on and talk about Sviatoslav, which is, you know, he's become the past 2 years, become the favorite player of the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Would you agree?
I think so. I think that's probably.
He's not just a shooter anymore. And I wrote that down before the Harvard game. I think he's getting to the basket pretty quick. He's got some of the quicker moves on the floor. He's got some of these weird European moves. And it's easy to say that because he's European. But he's got this little Dirk layup from the elbow that he's doing. This one-footed. This
underhanded.
And just this weird stuff that you see from Dirk and from Manu Ginobili. I still don't think he can play defense, or he can't stay in front of his guy. Maybe that's a European thing too.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. He's still shooting the ball all right. I think he'll shoot it better still. I mean, his looks always are. I don't know. He hasn't actually shot the ball great. He's shot it way better than last year, which is good. He's showing that he can actually make the 3-pointer. But I think you're right. He's getting to the basket really well, and I don't really know on defense. Like he's not guarding at all. I think you're right. But that position, okay, so who, like, Brandon Green's not guarding anybody either. And now that Brandon's coming back, how is that going to kind of shake out? What are your kind of thoughts there? I'm just trying to figure out, and let's just assume that Brandon's, you know, paid his dues. He's going to be a nice guy and not going to yell at coaches or anything. What do you think that, how's that going to shake out?
Well, they basically play the same position and they're the same player and they offer very similar things. So I think it's going to be a competition. I think that one of them is going to get minutes and one of them's not.
Except Svi can drive. Like, this is what he's showing. And Brandon's not much of a, you know, he's not getting to the basket like Sviatoslav has the last few games. So, and if you look back at his old tape, like if you look at him when he was back, you know, in high school or whatever, he would get to the basket a lot. Like, he wasn't just a shooter. He was scoring all kinds of ways. So maybe this is good. Maybe he's starting to kind of develop into a full offensive player, or maybe he always had it and just didn't show it last year. I don't know.
Right. His three-pointing shooting is a little spotty. He's a little streaky, and he's always been streaky. But if he can get that a little more consistent and, you know, get a little bit better on defense, I think it's his spot to lose. And I think Brandon Green is going to be left out in the cold, which brings us to Brandon Green. Brandon Green was suspended. Most of you probably know that. I think he'll be back for the Oregon State game next weekend. We heard about what happened, about how he yelled at Bill Self in the locker room following the Georgetown loss. I was yelling at Bill Self in the locker room.
After Michigan
the,
State or, loss.
Michigan State, yep, loss. I was yelling at Bill Self.
I was too.
After the Michigan State loss, he couldn't hear me, but I was yelling at him. So maybe there was something to be said for that. But he did get suspended for 6 games, which is unheard of for something like that. So it must have been a little rough.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, as coach, you can't, if you're going to command the respect of the locker room and somebody, completely tears down that respect in front of everybody else, like, there has to be something done. You can't just let it go. Not heat of the moment. You know, there's certain things that are heat of the moment that I completely get. But if he's going to try to command respect in the locker room and somebody, you know, takes that away, you have to pay for that. Now, I think you're right. That's a big suspension. I mean, if he just suspended him 1 game, I think everybody would still be like, damn, he suspended him for a game for yelling at him? That's crazy. You know, but he's been in 6 games, so it must have been pretty bad, or I don't know. It was kind of surprising, but You know, Brandon's like a little bit of a baby. I mean, I think we all kind of know that. He's a pretty emotional guy. And he probably was right in saying that he should have been on the court when we couldn't score for like a stretch of 20 minutes there. And we really needed scoring. But I don't know. I'm not going to say that I know better than Bill Self. And whenever we do that, or we try to like say I was mad at Bill Self, like we're not trying to say that we know better than Bill Self, but that doesn't mean that the guy can't screw up, because he can screw up, and he has screwed up, I think, a lot of times. And I don't think we're above being able to point some of those things out. So yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what to think of it.
I'm not getting great vibes from it. I mean, I heard he had some bad body language on the bench against Loyola, you know, when everybody was up cheering. I mean, but, you know, that just could be who he is and the out of context. Who knows? But, you know, at his peak, Brandon Green is one of the best shooters in the country.
Yeah.
So we do have to recognize that you could make an argument that he's the best shooter in the country.
By instant kind of offense.
His statistics from last year. So we will see. But also, let's talk about kind of how the minutes are split up among the big guys, not necessarily from the guard position. And that's because Diallo is now getting thrown into the mix. We've got six quality big men. I use quality, you know, take it for how you
we
want.
We have six big men.
We have six big men who can play minutes in college basketball. How do you think those are going to get split? Those, you know, there's going to be some differences with Landon. There's going to be some differences with Jamari. Jamari's been starting, obviously, against Harvard. Landon finished, nearly played all the minutes in the second half. How do you think this is going to end up, you know, for the next several games? When we get to the Big 12, how do you think the minutes are going to be split?
So, yeah, I guess that's the question. When are we talking? Are we talking, you know, late part of the Big 12 season when we ought to know our rotation? Is that what you're saying?
Well, both. Like, I mean, is it going to stick the same way? Or are we going to change it up?
I mean, I think well, in the what interim, do you anticipate? I think in the interim, in these next like five or six games where we're not playing very good teams, I think you're going to see a little bit of everything. I think we're going to see different combinations. I think Bragg and Diallo will both play, hopefully, God, much more than 7 and 2 minutes or whatever they played against Harvard. But I think they'll be able to play and play through mistakes, which will be very important. You know, last year and the year before, we were playing such a hard schedule. We wouldn't have been able to let Diallo come in and play through mistakes like I think we will be able to this year. And that's a huge, huge deal, because when it comes down to the NCAA tournament, when it comes down to postseason and big games or whatever in the Big 12, you want your best five guys on the court. You want your most talented five guys on the court. Because in the NCAA tournament, talent wins. It just does. Like, talent wins. And if we're playing Landon Lucas extended minutes in the NCAA tournament over Cheick Diallo, like, we have a problem. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, right now, I really want to see him play. He's a mess. I get it. He's raw. He's jumping all over the place. He's, you know, crazy energy, which is great. You know, you'd rather have that than not. But, like, let him play through this stuff. Let him get settled in. Let the game slow down. And then by the end, I really, really hope that he is playing alongside Perry. And so that's what I you know, I want to see toward the end. I want Perry and Diallo playing the most minutes with these other guys coming off the bench and playing quality minutes, Jamari bringing energy, Landon bringing good matchups against the trees if we're playing a taller team, you know, Hunter bringing some defense and energy. This is and Bragg kind of playing that point forward position. If he can come in and play fast and stretch people out, like, we got a lot of guys and they might match up really well with some teams. But man, I really want to see Diallo and Perry playing together a lot of minutes.
Okay, I think it's time. We promised the listeners a dance party.
Oh, we did? Oh, that's right, we did.
I think we did. Did we? Okay. I think it's time. Do you have some music queued up?
I need to find a song.
Everybody get ready. I want you to, if you're at work, just get yourself settled down. If you're in your car, maybe pull over. Maybe just, you know, pay attention a little bit closer, because we're going to ask you to do some things here in a second. This is, you know, it's a little bit late, but I think it's still deserved. We're gonna do a little dance party all together for Cheick Diallo being.
All right, here we go. I can't. This is all we got. This is the first thing I saw. Everybody, you know, clap along at home if you know this one. Here we go.
cat. Get brave when I'm talking on the phone. Spend money when you're running this slow. Rich free niggas ain't no clown. We at the top where we belong.
What?
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 Your dog's dancing too.
There you go. No, this is, we gotta keep going.
My arms are tired. Got a
bite and sweat like sharks. Oh my god. Alright, I'm out of breath. You have to slow down.
Close it out.
How do I turn this off?
Good? You good? You need a towel?
Yeah, I'm good. No, I'm good. It's a lot of jumping. I'll be honest, I don't know how to turn this down. So you can talk to me, and I got really loud racks on racks in my head. So just go ahead and take it from here.
All right.
I'm going to take a breather.
Is it still going?
It's still going.
It's still going. Okay, well, you figure out how to turn it off. I've quit dancing.
All right, I'm done dancing. I'm done dancing.
Okay, well, turn off the Rex on Rex, because it gets annoying after a while.
It's eventually going to turn off.
Okay, well, let's talk about Cheick Diallo while Rex on Rex on Rex keeps playing. I don't know if I need to talk louder. Everyone's probably turned their volume down in their headphones. Okay, let's talk about the Loyola game, his debut, 13 points, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks in 16 minutes. Best part about the game was his Karl Malone mailman dunk. Probably the best dunk of the year for KU. People calling it the Molly Man, mailman. Little play on words. But I think we're going to see some of these this year. I think Bill Self wasn't happy with the
He wasn't? Thing.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, Jack, we don't do that.
But don't,
he,
did, don't,
he didn't
don't
know any
that,
better.
Bill
we need,
don't
we need
do
to open that.
That
up. We need to open don't. That up. But I think the main thing is he had a pretty good game against Loyola. Didn't play much against Harvard. But, Kevin, what does this change?
What is what? I can't hear you. I have racks on racks on so
it's
loud.
It's not over?
It's so loud.
It is a minute and 40-second song. By Ace Hood.
We have, like, another 20 seconds.
Okay.
Can we talk about the dunk some more?
Yeah. Mailman.
I didn't even talking about that.
Okay, so Karl Malone, you're familiar.
Yeah.
He did the mailman dunk.
I know the dunk.
Yeah, it was
awesome. I was on Twitter, and I said he just pulled out his Karl Malone. And people were like, no. He pulled out the Drew Gooden and the Travis Relaford. I'm like, no.
Oh.
He pulled out the Karl Malone.
But, people really got mad about that?
Yeah, it's happened twice in KU, because Drew Gooden did that one.
I know.
And Travis Relaford did it, too.
I don't remember Travis Relaford.
Yeah, there's like a... I don't know. It wasn't as good.
Are we still going?
I'll be honest with you. It's still going. But it's going to be on real quiet when I do it and when I produce it. So,
okay.
People will get like real tired of it, but they're not going to be like so loud that they
can't
hear.
Well, I think this became the Cheick Diallo song.
We should probably cut all of this.
No.
But I'm not sure if I'm going to, because I'm probably going to watch Homeland instead.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, Kerry Matheson.
Anyway. All right. Kerry. Well, anyway, Diallo is back.
We've got a lot to talk about Diallo. We're going to talk about him like pretty much the whole podcast and the rest of the season. I just want to ask one question before we're done with him. Did you actually think he was going to get cleared? Like, in your heart of hearts, deep down, like, but you wouldn't admit it or tell anybody. Did you think he would actually get cleared?
It depends when you ask me. Like, if you'd asked me right before the season, I would have said no. And then, like, right after the season started, I would have said no. But after that whole, like... Oh, by the way, the song just ended. If after that whole, like, media campaign that Self and company kind of stirred up, like, right when that happened, I'm like, damn. If the NCAA can get through all of this and still, you know, say he's not cleared, then something else must have happened. Because they look real bad right now. And so after that, when that thing, the whole thing happened, I was like, I bet he somehow gets cleared at some point. So what about you?
I didn't think so.
Really?
I did never think so. I really didn't. I just thought, I don't know. I just had a bad feeling about it. But I was wrong, and I'm glad I was wrong.
Yeah. Now, he's raw. We've seen that. But you can see also in spurts just what he could do, man. I'm just super excited for him. I hope that Self lets him play a lot. And, you know, with time and, you know, with minutes, I think he will show that he deserves to play. So we'll see.
Okay. In the spirit of Cheick Diallo's first performance as the Jayhawk against Loyola, we're going to do a new segment, which maybe will become a recurring segment. And I haven't really even explained to Kevin what it is.
No idea.
But I'm going to tentatively label it as Andrew's Deep Dive.
Okay.
Or Andrew's Wikipedia Hole. But it's like, you know, when you're like, you know, at night, like before bed, and then you like click on one thing and then you click on another. And then you're like, I wonder how many minutes Travis Relaford played against Oklahoma in 2011. And then you have to go look that up. And then you just keep going and going. And then it's all this data you accumulate and it's all kind of crazy. Well, this is what this is going to be about. This is what I did this week before bed on Wikipedia or on various college basketball reference websites.
I wish I had a drop for you, like for
this. We'll make one. But this, so there's two things I'm going to cover. The first one is in the Bill Self era, the most points scored by a debuting Jayhawk. And like, I could have got this information wrong because I just like went through box scores because I was curious. So I'm going to have you guess, just if you can. You don't have to tell me who or when or whatever. Just kind of tell me what you think. Most points scored by a Jayhawk in their debut. Who do you think they are? Give me three or four.
Ever?
No, just the Bill Self era. Because I think it's like Will Chamberlain scored like 52.
I was going to say.
Yeah, like that's, we're going way too far. We drive ourselves crazy if we did all that. So in the Bill Self era, since the 03-04 season.
Wiggins, Selby, and I guess Diallo.
Okay, well, you got two of the top three. Number one, Xavier Henry.
Oh, that's a good one. I should
scored
have
27
that.
Points.
That's right.
In
forgot
his
about that.
Debut as a Jayhawk, which is incredible. Like, I completely forgot about that. Yeah. All right, Selby, 21, and never had a better game. Like, that was his best game as a Jayhawk.
Yeah.
Wiggins had 16, so that's the top three. Just to kind of close it out, Chalmers had 15, Perry had 15, Sharon had 14, a guy by the name of David Pageant had 13. David Pageant's going to be the subject of part two of this deep dive because I was curious about what he was up to.
Okay.
But let's close it out. Also, Diallo had 13, tied with Pageant. Arthur, 12, Brandon Rush, 12, Julian Wright, 9, Cliff Alexander, 9. Macklemore 9, Market or Markieff Morris 7.
Okay.
So that I could be wrong, but that's kind of what I got. Also, rebounds, Markieff Morris 15 in his debut.
Whoa.
David Pageant 10.
Mm-hmm.
David Pageant, quite the first game.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about David Pageant for a little bit. You all remember David Pageant. This was Bill's first year. David and Bill did not necessarily get along. Or more importantly, David's dad Bill Self, did not get along. Because David's dad thought that David Pageant was Dirk Nowitzki.
Was a point guard.
He was like, you're going to play him like Dirk Nowitzki or he's going to transfer. And Bill's like, no, we're not going to do that. And he transferred.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, I want to figure out what happened to David. So he played a few years for Louisville. Did pretty well. And he played a few years abroad because he didn't get drafted. Then he became an assistant strength coach at Louisville, assistant strength coach, and then became an assistant at IUPUI, Indiana University, Purdue University at Indianapolis. Is that what it is? Whatever it is. Then took the director of basketball ops job at Louisville.
Really?
Yeah. He replaced Andre McGee,
who
left to become an assistant at UMKC. Now, if you remember the name Andre McGee is the dude who is accused of and probably did procure prostitutes for recruits at Louisville. So I just read that and I wonder if that was in David Pageant's job description or if, you know, Andre McGee like left him a binder, like how to do
the Rolodex
each job duty. Like, you're in charge of making travel arrangements. You need to contact this person. you're in charge of prostitute arrangements. You need to contact this person. I wonder if there's like a binder out there for director of basketball ops that David was in charge of. We're not saying David did it.
No, but we would
David's
never do
predecessor
that.
Is accused of doing that. That's so anyway, that's where nice he is dive. Now. A deep dive.
Nice
maybe
deep
we'll,
dive.
Maybe we'll make that a thing. But anyway, that's what you learn about on Wikipedia at midnight.
That was a nice deep dive. That was like one of those, what's the deal? The pop-up deals where it like comes back around, you know, the pop-up videos or whatever they do at the games where like Landon Lucas really likes Star Wars. And then like, you know, who else is in Star Wars? Like that, that thing. Anyway, so
you we should do our own of those.
That would be good. Yeah, that would take a little more work probably than I want to put it. Now, you know what? That'd be pretty easy with Wikipedia. I think it's a Wikipedia thing. All right, let's move on from the deep dive, Andrew. This is really important. I think it's time to talk about KU football for a minute.
We haven't done that in a while.
It's been a while.
So this is going to be our eulogy for the 2015 KU football season. I'm going to cover a couple things. The first thing I have just labeled it as defeated. We went 0-12. Did you see the 0-12 hype video that someone
that
made?
Thing?
Yeah, it's actually really funny, and I'm so pissed about it. I'm so pissed about it, but we deserve it. Like whoever did it is incredible. I mean, we deserve it. I can recognize when something's funny. So if you haven't seen it, probably avoid it.
This is the problem with being on TV now. Like there's video of stuff.
Yeah. So let's talk about a couple things. And I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, but this was certainly a conversation we had amongst you and I and other folks who visit the Jayhawk Talk luxury box at Memorial Stadium. We had an over-under bet for the whole season. We kept track of it the whole season, and it ended up being incredibly easy to keep track of. We thought it was going to be a lot harder. The bet was, would KU be winning a football game for a grand total of 60 minutes during the course of the entire season? So for context, we played 12 games. There are 60 minutes apiece. And so that's a total of 720 minutes in the entire season that we played. So we had over under. Will KU be winning? Will they have more points as time ticks away for 60 more or more minutes in the season? And I think
they didn't even have to win the game. Just
no,
like,
just
you're
just
up 3-0.
Be up. And the result. What did you pick, Kevin?
I took the under.
I took the under, but there were several who took the over.
Yeah.
It ended up being about even. The result, KU led for a grand total of 10 minutes and 6 seconds. And that's out of 720. If you want to do the math, which I did, that's 1.4% of total game time this season that KU was winning on the scoreboard.
Ugh.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's all world bad. I mean, it was the worst team I've ever seen at KU. Now, there were highlights, a few, and obviously there were a ton of excuses and justifications for this. You didn't bring in David Beatty to win this year. Nobody did. Nobody expected him to. You maybe would have expected him to win a game or two, but you could not blame him if he didn't. This is not a season to win games. This is a season to figure a bunch of shit out, get rid of a bunch of really bad habits, and recruit a lot of players because we don't have very many on scholarship, and it's going to take not one, not two, but at least 3 years to just get to the point where we have a full, complete football team. And that is so depressing, but it's completely true. So no one was expecting anything. There were no expectations. We wanted to see a football team that would go out there and actually, you know, fight and play hard and hopefully play smart. They did fight. They did, for the most part, play hard. They didn't really play smart. So that, you know, whatever you want to say for that. But I think there are some highlights, Andrew. I mean, it took a while to get there, but Ryan Willis looks the part of a Division One, you know, football quarterback, I think, in potential in high major college football. What do you think?
And if you think about it, he was possibly the fourth or fifth string quarterback back in April. I mean, because you lost Michael Cummings at the spring game. You lose Montel Yeffrenz, Montel Cozart. You lose, I don't even remember, DeAndre Ford. Is that his name? He only played a game and a half. And then you get to Willis. I think we're the only Division One team that played six quarterbacks this year. because then you had Millward.
What about Baylor?
And then the other guy. I can't remember the other guy's name. But that's six quarterbacks. But Ryan Willis looked pretty good. I think that the other highlight possibly is the TCU loss, where we looked all right. You could probably lump Texas Tech in there as well.
Yeah.
Those were fun games, sort of, at the end.
You know, I can say this, though. The team did never seem to, like, and the fans, by the way, are complete opposite of this, but the team never did seem to really be like, gosh, we suck, we're not, you know, what's it matter, you know, we're down 40 points. Like, they would still go out and try. And you could at least say that for coaching. I mean, it would be hard to keep a team that's never not won a game all year motivated to practice, plan, prepare, lift, go out, put a game plan together, and play the game. Like, that would be hard. But they somehow kept doing it, you know, and they fielded a team that tried. It just wasn't going to happen this year.
Yeah, so my next question for you, and we've had this conversation before on this very podcast, and I think we've had it a couple times. But my question is this rock bottom? You know, and what I mean by that is the K-State game, empty seats, mostly K-State people, lost to K-State to conclude a winless season. Is this rock bottom in the 100-plus years of KU football?
I don't know. I mean, I think rock bottom was this year, or
if you had
mainly
to pin it to a moment, if you had to pin it to a moment,
I don't know, because I actually see signs with Beatty and I see signs with the coaching staff and some of the guys that they've recruited. And I don't know. I think they're on the uptick. So maybe saying rock bottom is the wrong time, but yes, just generally that is, concluding the worst season KU has ever had, concluding the worst team in college football, losing at home in front of nobody to your rival. Yes, I would say that's pretty close to rock bottom. What about you? I mean,
I think so. Only can go up from here, Kevin.
It can only go up from
here. To the moon.
How many games are we going to win next year?
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the returning players first. We know Ryan Willis is coming back. He threw the most yards as a freshman quarterback in program history. So that's something. There's some other guys coming back. It's mostly a young team. So they're going to have to go up against, you know, the Big 12. Not going to be easy. But here's the non-conference. The first game we have is Rhode Island at home. We're going to win this game.
We are?
We're going to win this game. We totally are.
Sure?
Rhode Island went 1-10 and were last place in the Colonial Athletic Conference, which is an FCS Division I AA, whatever you want to call it. They won one game. So I feel good. I feel good that we're going to beat Rhode Island. From there, I don't know.
Who else do we have next season?
We have the Ohio Bobcats.
What did they do?
That's at home. They went 8-4.
Ugh.
They got second place in the MAC East Division. We're going to have to bite our tongue and put that in the maybe category.
I think that's
an overestimation, but we're going to go ahead and put that in a maybe category. Okay. And then we go at Memphis. Not super excited about that one. They obviously went 9-3, crushed us this year, but they lost quarterback
their coach. Yeah,
lose Paxton Lynch probably to the NFL, their quarterback. And they lost their head coach, Justin Fuente. who was the subject of the 50 candidates for KU football last year. He took the Virginia Tech job, probably right to wait it out there, Justin.
Yeah.
But we'll probably still lose that one, but who knows? We go travel to Memphis. So I think we'll get at least one. All right, let's close it out this way. Kevin, let's say we do win one game. Next year we go 1-11. Beatty's still safe, right? But what are your thoughts after that?
Absolutely. You cannot judge him until at least after 3 years. You just can't. Like, he didn't bury this program. You know, there were a lot of people that did, but he had nothing to do with that. And he took over. I don't think he even understood what he took over when he took it over. Like, it was the worst situation. Like, I know they've talked about K-State football was like a disaster when Snyder took it over. I'd like to see, you know, like everyone kind of go back that was like really alive and knew that that situation really well and compare it to what Beatty took over. Because I don't know, man, it can't have been much worse than what Beatty took over in terms of like the actual numbers and the scholarship players and just the sheer just like disaster of previous coaches. I don't know, but I don't, we'll see, man. I cannot judge him. Now I can judge his decisions. I can judge his recruiting class a little bit. If he's not bringing guys in, I can judge, you know, his game, you know, game flow decisions, which were a little questionable this year in some cases, but no, I'm not going to give him, I'm giving him 100% the benefit of the doubt for the next 2 years.
Okay. I think so too. I mean, you're right that this program was buried. He's got to kind of dig it out. I mean, he's still digging.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to be digging for a while.
He's going to be digging for a while. All right. Let's move on. Let's close out this podcast by going back to something positive. I will say this. We went to most of the KU football games. I didn't go to everyone. We went to most of them. The fans got a little dejected probably at the end. And we know that. We can actually see that because they didn't show up. So I like going to those football games, and I'm going to get my tickets again. But we got to see something coming up for those fans to come back. It's probably going to take a little bit for, you know, that stadium to be full or even half full again.
Agreed. It really will. They're going to have to win some games. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. And honestly, Andrew, they got to win some games so they can get themselves some money to build some new stadium upgrades. God, it's so bad. It's the
Our Section 11 football. $150 seats are not. I mean, our fee for the Jayhawk Talk luxury box is not going to be enough to fund that capital campaign. All right, let's talk about KU basketball to close it out, and let's talk a little bit more about, I guess, the Big 12 generally. Do you want to go ahead and do a kind of a wrap around the Big 12? Sort of power rank. Maybe we can get a pre-power rank. Maybe do the Big 12 drop instead of the power rank drop.
Big 12 drop, not power rank drop. Check.
Y'all ready for this? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stanley?
BCS. BCS.
Dollar signs. Dollar signs.
All right, Andrew. The Big 12 is shaping up to be a good basketball conference once again. Except for a couple teams that aren't very good, but how do you want to handle this?
Let's start at the bottom.
Okay.
Just from your perception of what the bottom is, and we'll just go ahead and group TCU and Texas Tech.
Yes, I think so. I think TCU might be better than Texas Tech, actually.
The other way around.
Texas Tech better than TCU.
Yes. KenPom, TCU's 101. They're currently 4-3.
Yeah, yeah.
But 4-3.
I think Oklahoma State might be worse than
All right,
Texas
here's a question
Tech.
For you, and I totally agree with you on that. Oklahoma State, can you name a player on their team that is not named Phil Forte?
Yes.
Don't look it up.
I'm not looking it up. I'm looking at schedule. And not even looking up. You know what? I don't think I can actually. Hang on, let me think about this.
I can't either. Somebody. No, I can't either.
Who am I thinking of? Oh, you know what? He's gone. No, I don't. I can't. The freshman, the Dillard or whatever. The guy that wasn't he the one that got cleared or something at the same time that I don't know. I might be making that up. Okay, whatever.
I don't see anyone. Oh, there you go. Davin Dillard, he is technically on the roster. On KenPom, he is listed as a bench warmer in that he has played in fewer than 10% of the team's minutes.
Is he a freshman, though?
Probably. Yeah, anyway. Freshman.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'll give you credit for that. You got that right. So
I can't name anybody else.
I think that those three at the bottom, and I'm going to include Oklahoma State in there, too, because I think they're going to be bad this year. Those are going to be the bottom three. And I think that there's a middle with K-State and Texas. No, I think that's it. I think K-State and Texas is the middle.
I think you're right.
I think that Texas is going to not be great this year because Shaka Smart's great. I think his players are great, but I think that those players and him are not great together.
Yeah, it's kind of like Bill Self's first year. Like, he had great players. He had his system, and it was just kind of weird to work out. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think they'll win some games, maybe even win some games against really, really good teams because they've got guys. I mean, they've got really good players, but
Cameron Ridley's not running the floor in the Havoc defense.
No, he's not.
They've got a couple good freshmen. This Kerwin Roach, did you see his dunk the other day?
I did, yes.
That was pretty good.
And they're 4-3 so far to start, which doesn't sound very good, but their three losses have been against reasonably named teams like Washington and Texas A&M and Michigan. Say what you want about those teams, but at least they're not losing to, some BFE team. So,
I think that's your middle. And I think I agree. Those teams can, if they do some things right, could possibly make the tournament.
Yeah.
But then I think that there's five guaranteed teams to make the tournament. And I'm not in any specific order, but West Virginia, Baylor, Iowa State, Oklahoma, and Kansas.
Yep.
All those teams are ranked in the top 25.
Yep.
Which means this is going to be a crazy Big 12 season, like it always is. But I think this one is going to be incredibly competitive.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. Oklahoma is the one that keeps jumping out to me. I think we put Iowa State ahead of them at the start of the season. But I don't know, man. I think I want to switch that. The more I've seen Oklahoma, the more I am afraid of that team more than I'm afraid of Iowa State. But Iowa State also hasn't really played anybody, so it's hard to really judge them. They beat Colorado in the first game of the season, which was a good win, 68-62. And Colorado's pretty good, but I want to see them play some other teams. And they'll have they got a couple games coming up against Iowa, at Cincinnati versus Northern Iowa. Those games will be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I think that each of those four teams, excluding Kansas, that we just listed, have big games coming up. We've got Oklahoma plays Villanova tomorrow. So depending when you're listening to this, Iowa State's got, Cincinnati coming up, a couple other games. Baylor's got Vanderbilt tonight, which is your update on ESPN.
Sure did.
When the West Virginia on Tuesday plays Virginia. So each of those teams is going to be tested in the next couple days or so. So we'll see, if our thoughts change after that. In terms of us, we will not really be tested, and knock on wood, until possibly Oregon State, but then we go to San Diego State. I think that's going to be our biggest test up until Big 12 season. But we've got Holy Cross coming up this week, Oregon next Saturday at the Sprint Center, and then Montana. I think that those are going to be some games. One to just figure out a lineup. Kind of let some guys play through. But, then again, we thought that about Harvard.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think Holy Cross is what they're 3-5. I'm not too worried about that game. Oregon State has, I think they're 6-1 with a loss to Valparaiso. And I don't know anything about Valparaiso this year, but that at least, I think that will be a decent test. And, if we go out and win by 20 points there, I think everyone will start feeling a little better. And I don't know, we crushed UCLA, and they are obviously good enough to beat good teams. So I'm willing to kind of let this Harvard game be just a strange game that was just one of those that kind of you don't play well, and we missed every free throw and missed basically every shot except for three-pointers, which we forgot to shoot in the second half. And I don't know. I think they'll figure it out. But But yeah, I think these next five games will be great tests to really get these young guys some playing time. Let them play through just boneheaded plays. Don't yank them. Please, Bill, do not yank them. Now is not the time to show, to take out people for making a mistake. Now is the time to teach and let them play through mistakes. And you don't have to make examples of people right now. And he loves to do that. And I know he's going to do it no matter what, but it will be nice to just let them, you know, try to mature and get some playing time.
Okay, Kevin, I think we should close out on some racks.
More? More of it?
No.
You want me to play some more?
No.
What if I played another? No, I got a whole nother.
That's the official Check the Yellow theme song, which we need to get a smaller snippet of it to play. Smaller and quieter.
Quieter? Yeah.
Smaller
I literally couldn't hear
and
you.
Quieter.
I could not
Rex
hear a word
Rex.
You said. I heard you talking about Karl Malone's dunk, and I had like a take on that, but I could not hear when you stopped talking, so I did not know when to jump in. I'm gonna go listen to that little section and see if that needs to be cut out, but I'll probably just leave it in. If you've made it to this point, I apologize for the little section there, but what can you do? We're not professionals here. We are though the Jayhawk Talk podcast. We really appreciate you tuning in, listening to us. I very much apologize for not coming with a podcast sooner. Andrew was out of town for a while. I've been out of town for a while. A lot of things came up, but we are back, hopefully getting really into a nice little schedule here and looking forward to watching these next five or six games. Hopefully KU can reel off some really good wins here, start gelling before the Big 12 season starts. You can find me at Jayhawk Talk. You can find Andrew at Sherlock Hoops. And we will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Rock you. And if you love it, then I love it because we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now, if you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it.
This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces.
This for my J Hawk fans, for my J Hawks. This for my J Hawk fans, for my J Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks, Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks, Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks.